Chapter 7. Pharaoh is ambushed. When we go through periods of challenges and even sufferings in our lives, it is valuable to know that the resurrection of Jesus has the potential to turn our trials and even bondages into blessings. We can also apply the victory of His resurrection over the spiritual enemies that may be behind the sufferings. Nothing is beyond the power of resurrection. During those uncomfortable times, knowing these facts will increase your hope for overcoming. Hope is based in the resurrection of Jesus, 1 Peter 1:3. And Romans 5 states that it is increased in times of suffering. The example of Moses and Pharaoh will show the truth of this idea, and it will also show us a shadow of our responsibilities in the overcoming lifestyle. Daniel and the three Hebrew young men were already qualified to go into the lion's den and the furnace. But God had to disciple Gideon and work with Job. He had to reveal Himself to Abram in the blood covenant. Now, in the Exodus, God needed His people to qualify for holiness and righteousness to be blessed to come out of Egypt. In all these cases, please bear in mind, none of these people were qualified to be overcomers in themselves. It was only that God chose them so He could empower them with His power. Normally, He chooses those of us who are the very least qualified in our own power. It often takes a lot of breaking before He can even begin to use us. God had already worked with Moses. Hebrews 11:24-29 says, "By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned. After many years of tending sheep in obscurity, Moses met God at the burning bush. God called that holy ground. At that time, I believe, Moses was a different man than in his earlier years when he was full of zeal and self-sufficiency. I have read that the removal of shoes means the stripping of all your rights. When Moses was stripped of his ways, his ideas, his idea of outcome, then he was qualified to stand for Israel's exodus from satanic bondage. I believe that one of God's most favorite tactics is ambush. Ambush, an unexpected attack from a concealed position. Concealment before a surprise attack. The Old and New Testaments are loaded with the passive victories of God against His enemies. God's established laws included the eventual destruction of beings, human or spiritual, by their own conduct. Satan was ambushed at the cross of Jesus. God's wisdom is so far superior to all other beings. It is the actual attack from evil beings that defeats them if we know and keep the truth. The mystery of the cross and of God's wrath. 1 Corinthians 2:7-8 says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." It is comforting to know that all of God's wrath was put on Jesus, but the demonic forces are destined to experience His wrath. 1 Thessalonians 5:9 says, "For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." In our chapter about Job, we see that God's wrath was kindled against Job's friends. However, He invited them to put His wrath on Jesus, or to make a burnt offering. Job 42:7-8 says, "And so it was, after the Lord has spoken these words to Job, that the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, 'My wrath is aroused against you and your two friends, for you have not spoken of me what is right as my servant Job has. Now therefore, take for yourselves 7 bulls and 7 rams, go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you. For I will accept him, lest I deal with you according to your folly, because you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has." The story about Moses and the Exodus is an overcoming example of defeating evil and setting us free from bondages. The Exodus through the Red Sea out of Egypt is a type of us coming out of the world to serve the Lord and have fellowship and worship him. It is also a type of overcoming our bondage to Satan and the world through a supernatural overcoming process. I believe that this story also applies to our lives as a type of coming out of the bondages the world may have put us in and or put in us. It is interesting to note that the Israelites in Egypt were helpless slaves to the world system. God heard their cry, and because of his covenant and his love, he was compelled to bring them out. You can be assured that God is interested in freeing you from your bondages and in defeating the demonic forces that put you there. My freedom. One of my pastors recently preached a great sermon on the demon-possessed man at Gadarenes in Mark chapter 5. The pastor emphasized that this man did not even know his real name because there had been so many ungodly and worldly voices that had put him into demonic bondage. As I wrote this, I just realized that was also a picture of me prior to 1979 when God saved me. At that time, I immediately pursued God's word with a passion, and that word drove demons out of my life for many months until I was finally free. I would drive my car to pick up supplies for my grocery store and deli. As I drove, I listened to audio messages from the Word of God. As I listened, I would have to pull over to the side of the road and cry uncontrollably. Lots of matter would come out of my nose, so much that I would fill up bath towels that I had in my car. It was the remnant of the world coming out, and of me coming out of the world, as did the children of Israel. What I write about comes from hearing God speak to me, having that rhema verified by Scripture, and then seeing my deliverance and fruit in other people that resulted from the process of overcoming. While we were in bondage to the world, Jesus set us free. It is his gift. Galatians 4:3 says, "Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world." Galatians 2:4 says, "And this occurred because of false brethren, secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage." 2 Peter 2:19 says, "While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption, for by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage." Romans 6:16-18 says, "Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death, or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." The purpose of God was not simply to get his people out of Egypt, but also in defeating Pharaoh, a type of Satan. First, Moses had to overcome his own flesh, his Adamic nature. He had been hasty in Egypt by committing a murder. Then he served as a shepherd in the desert for 40 years. However, when he met God at the burning bush, he became a changed man. Do you think that Moses gave up his vision to free the people of God during those 40 years? Moses had seen God or had a personal experience with him. I believe that God does not limit this type of experience for special people, but that he desires this type of intimacy with all of us. Moses had this enduring faith not because he was on a mission prompted by some principle, but because he had seen God. Hebrews 11:27 Amplified Bible says, "Motivated by faith, he left Egypt behind him, being unawed and undismayed by the wrath of the king, for he never flinched, but held staunchly to his purpose and endured steadfastly as one who gazed on him who is invisible." God's ambush. Just like Jesus ambushed Satan at the cross, God also ambushed Pharaoh and his troops to chase the Israelites to the Red Sea. Go with me into the story. Exodus 14, 1-31 says, "Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to the children of Israel, that they turn and camp before Pi-hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea opposite Baal Zephon. You shall camp before it by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, "They are bewildered by the land. The wilderness has closed them in." Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart, so that he will pursue them. And I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord." And they did so. Now it was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people, and they said, "Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us?" So he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. Also he took 600 choice chariots, and all the chariots of Egypt, with captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with boldness. So the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and overtook them camping by the sea, beside Pi-hahiroth, before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, "Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians"? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." And the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, his chariots, and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen." And the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and darkness to the one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that the one did not come near the other all that night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. Now it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud, and he troubled the army of the Egyptians. And he took off their chariot wheels, so that they drove them with difficulty. And the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians, on their chariots and on their horsemen." And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth, while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Then the waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. Not so much as one of them remained. But the children of Israel had walked on dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. The reason that Pharaoh and his troops were killed is because it became illegal for them to continue to hold the Israelites as slaves. However, it did not become illegal until the children of Israel and Moses cooperated in various ways. It was illegal for Pharaoh to hold the children of Israel after the conditions for making Pharaoh's hold on them illegal. So it is with us. What are the conditions that made their captivity illegal? Revelation 12:11 says, "And they overcame him, Satan, and in this case Pharaoh, by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death." Notice what the word "overcame," according to Strong's Concordance, means. When one is arraigned or goes to law to win the case, maintain one's cause, to carry off the victory, come off victorious over all his foes. Here are the same three items mentioned in Revelation 12:11 that overcome our foes as they apply to the children of Israel during their exodus from Egypt. 1. The Passover blood. This represented what is to us today God's unmerited favor for us through the death and resurrection of Jesus and his shedding of blood to make us righteous. The blood represents the blood covenant with Jesus that exchanged our sin nature with his righteous nature. It is more than just forgiving sins. It is an exchange of natures. Exodus 12:3-14 says, "Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, 'On the 10th day of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons, according to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boiled at all with water. but roasted in fire, its head with its legs and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it, with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. As long as the blood was left in the basin, it was of no effect. It was merely blood that had been shed. The blood had power to save only when it was lifted out of the basin and sprinkled. Why couldn't the Israelites have simply laid the basin of blood at the threshold and said, "It doesn't matter what we do with it. After all, blood is blood." Suppose they had put the basin on a linen-covered table or on a pedestal just inside the door, but then it would not have any effect. They needed to appropriate the blood just as we do. 2. Not loving their lives to the death. In simple terminology, this means to take up our cross, as Jesus said. It means forsaking our Adamic nature. In Revelation 12:11, the word lives, as in loving our lives to the death, means the soul, or our old, unrenewed will, mind, and emotions. We have to continually let go of those, confess them as dead, and replaced by the character of Jesus in us. It also means being obedient to the Word of God and repenting when we miss the mark. It means forsaking the sinful ways in our lives. By repentance, obedience, and total submission to God, Jesus and His love, that is resident on the inside of us through the Holy Spirit, will live out His life in us. The unleavened bread that the children of Israel ate in obedience to God represented this issue. Leaven represented sin. Also, another important issue was their obedience to eat all of the lamb that was slain for the Passover and move out of Goshen, Egypt, with haste. Exodus 12:15 says, 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. For whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. 3. The word of their testimony. As we are in the process of overcoming, we are to speak the anointed word of God over our situation and directly to the demonic enemies. The word is the sword of the Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul talks about many defensive weapons of our wrestling against spiritual beings who are attempting to steal our victory and our promise. Then, in Ephesians 6:17, he says, "We are to use the only offensive weapon, the sword of the Spirit, which is speaking the word of God." The only way to prevail is by the offense after we have put the defense in place. Remember, Jesus said that the gates of Hades could not prevail against the authority he would give to the church, Matthew 16:18-19. This indicates our offensive force to complete the wrestling victory that faces us. I asked the Lord, "I did not see the word of their testimony by the children of Israel at the Red Sea. Instead, I saw a very poor and fearful testimony from them. How did that work, and why?" Exodus 14:12 says, "Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, 'Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians'? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." It seemed to me that Pharaoh had every right to take a hold of their fear and kill them. But look, Moses did the standing in their stead. Exodus 14:13-14 says, "And Moses said to the people, 'Do not be afraid. Stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace.'" We have been in this situation, trying to get some people to cross their Red Sea. Some have been found with a fearful testimony, but God gave us the authority to be their Moses. Our testimony, like Moses, got them across the Red Sea. His testimony completed the legal requirement for overcoming. That made it illegal for Satan, Pharaoh, to hold them any longer. Thus the sea opened, and Pharaoh and his army was wiped out. Jesus intercedes for us when we feel helpless. He is the one who breaks us out of our prisons. That is his mission. See Isaiah chapter 61. Now, look to see how this overcoming did indeed set others free, even those who were not in Egypt at the Red Sea. The chiefs of Edom, the men of Moab, and the inhabitants of Canaan were all affected by this victory, even though they were a long distance from the actual overcoming. Exodus 15:11-19 says, "Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? You stretched out your right hand, the earth swallowed them. You, in your mercy, have led forth the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them in your strength to your holy habitation. The people will hear and be afraid. Sorrow will take hold of the inhabitants of Philistia. Then the chiefs of Edom will be dismayed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, will take hold of them. All the inhabitants of Canaan will melt away. Fear and dread will fall on them. By the greatness of your arm, they will be as still as a stone till your people pass over. O Lord, till the people pass over whom you have purchased. You will bring them in and plant them in the mountain of your inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which you have made for your own dwelling, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever, for the horses of Pharaoh went with his chariots and his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought back the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea." Why were others affected? Luke 11:21-22 says, "When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoils." Look at the list of spoils that the spiritual system of the world, Mystery Babylon, has in Revelation chapter 18. Spoils also include many tangible and valuable monetary items as well. Notice in the Exodus story that the children of Israel took with them many of Egypt's riches, including silver and gold. Exodus 12:35-36 tells about how the Egyptians were plundered. Of course, the souls of men mentioned there is the most important. In addition to the children of Israel coming out of bondage, there followed with them a great mixed multitude. I believe this represented many Gentiles, or at least part Gentile people. Jesus wants to continue to set you and I free from worldly bondages. Cooperate with him and watch for the miracle.